Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said Apfelstrudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Rich. We're doing something a little low-tech this week after being gone for a couple weeks.
E3 throwback!
Exactly. So we're actually recording on Audrey's phone because the podcast room was taken, and we didn't have enough time to wait for
but
that to be free.
We had to bring you guys NVC goodness this week.
Yeah, because we know we missed, you know, the week, like the last couple weeks, I guess.
Been a little crazy, though. Lots of news happened this week, though. So.
Yeah, it was funny, because, like, last week it was, like, pretty quiet, and we're kind of wondering what's going on, yeah. And then all of a sudden it was like,
boom!
News,
explosion, yeah.
Basically the result of Miyamoto going to Europe. It's like, we should just call the story that. Miyamoto goes to Europe, here's the things we learned. So, I think I said, this is Rich, obviously Audrey's here. Just the two of us, because it's, like, in a rush. Tons of stuff to talk about. And all with the advantage of probably what is an echoey room.
Yeah.
And yeah, so hopefully it sounds pretty good. This is what you can expect during E3 because this is what we did last year. But you guys seem to dig it and hopefully you won't mind the sound too much. So
enjoy when we like our voice spikes and then gets really low and all
yeah,
that stuff.
Because you're so loud.
Yeah, generally.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to run through a whole bunch of stuff. I'm just going to bring them up and then you can comment a little bit on it, Audrey. I've been traveling the world, but then obviously, we got a ton of stuff here to talk about. So, first on the list, Pokemon Black 2, White 2, some trailers and screens.
Yeah, we got a first trailer for screenshots. They're Japanese, but we can still look at them.
Are you
sure cool.
They are like the
yeah.
American version?
It'll still be the same game,
they
I'm pretty sure.
It might be different. Man, if it's all different.
Oh
all
my
the
god, it doesn't even have Pokemons in it.
So what did we learn? Did we learn anything, like, significant?
We saw the map. We saw that most of it is actually iced over, and we saw some of the areas have been completely redesigned.
Are the bridges
redesigned.
Still there? This is the
I
important thing.
I didn't see any bridges.
You didn't
but
see
I'm
any
sure
bridges?
Sure, they're still there.
I need to ask Masuda about this.
There may
this.
Have been one bridge.
Like, you were so
maybe.
Fond of bridges. What happened? You get pissed
they
off at them?
They all got iced over. They're all gone.
Oh, okay, all right.
But, yeah, so the locations are going to be different. The starting town's different. We got to look at that. We
is
gotta...
it still all black and white Pokemon, or like,
actually,
are the other
that's
ones
one of the
more?
Changes that we found out about is that when you start off, the Unova Pokedex is going to have Pokemon from other generations in the beginning.
Okay.
Because, like, for those of you who played Black and White, you know,
spoilers.
You yeah,
not really.
Well, not really. Like,
not really,
you can yeah. only catch Black and White Pokemon until you beat the Elite Four, and then there's like a Pokemon outbreak, and you can catch
right.
them from other generations.
Right.
But they're getting rid of that, so you can just catch a Bidoof right from the beginning if you want.
That's
not confirmed.
Because everybody wants.
That's
Bidoof
not confirmed,
right from the
but
start.
My fingers are crossed.
You really?
He's one
fingers,
of my favorites.
No.
He should have been one of the original. He should be 152.
All right.
Moving right along.
Pokemon. Confirmed. Pokemon are in Pokemon Black and Black 2, White 2.
Don't
always,
quote us on that.
I always just want to call it Black and White 2, and then it's like Black 2, White 2.
Yeah, that
Black,
makes,
or Black version 2, White version
that
2.
That makes headlines hard to write.
Oh, all right. The World Ends With You 2. This isn't... Okay, so... We should clarify, this is not a confirmed sequel.
Confirmed!
However, what happened this morning?
This morning, one of the game's creators made a few comments that made it sound really convincingly like there's going to be a sequel
some
to
sort of sequel.
The World Ends With You. Which is, it's a crazy big, it's a cult hit game. If you haven't played it, track it down on Amazon or something. It's a really great game, and fans have been just begging for a sequel for... years now, and we're finally getting one.
And again, to sort of emphasize, it might not be
one.
Yeah, we may get one, and it's also the fact that, like, could be that these characters are just going to guest appear in other games. I mean, we obviously know Kingdom Hearts on the 3DS obviously features
yeah.
some of those characters, but
yeah, that was the basis of one of his comments. Is
yeah.
He was talking about how they're adding voice acting for Rhyme's character, and usually they didn't talk, you know, there's just like reaction noises and stuff, but he said that he's adding voice acting for the future of the franchise, which
right.
is like, oh, there's a future of the franchise.
And then he was explicitly
But the
asked.
More convincing comment
yeah.
that he made was when he said that I don't have... They asked him specifically, like, what's happening with The World Ends With You, and he said something to the effect of, I can't say anything right now, but, you know...
Strong possibility.
Probably
like
something
that.
Is on the way.
Cool. So we'll see what that turns
we'll
out
see
to be.
What happens.
It's going to be an iPhone game.
Exciting.
Watch.
No. No.
okay, so I can't, so for the life of me, I cannot remember how much we talked about these games in the last couple weeks, so we're going to bring it up, and fingers crossed it's not something we talked about extensively. I think we did talk about Epic Mickey 2 briefly.
I don't remember going into too much detail about
but
it.
But then there's also the Epic Mickey on 3DS, which
yeah.
is the Power of Illusion.
Yeah, that's
sequel
the sequel
to Castle
of Illusion.
Illusion.
That's the one that I'm really excited about, actually.
Yeah. And
I don't really care so much about the other one.
I do remember bringing up Epic Mickey 2, and I just, honestly, Disney showed it too early, I think. And
mm-hmm.
it's at a point now where what they showed us seemed a little familiar. It does have co-op, stuff like that. Mickey on 3DS, though, and honestly, if we brought it up, I'm going to bring it again. I'll bring it up again, because it sounds pretty cool. It's 2D, sprite-based platformer.
Yeah, the sprites look gorgeous.
Yeah, and
looks...
then, I mean, and some of the best use on the 3D on the 3DS is when you just have a 2D sprite-based game, like Mighty Switch Force.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just have those cool layers of depth to it.
It's like they're doing cool things with the touchscreen, where you can sort of draw the objects, and
right.
then they'll appear in the game.
And... Yeah, and how well you sketch it, or, you know, sort of trace, if you trace well. So think back to your, like, first grade tracing classes and stuff. But if you trace well, it yields better results. So if I trace... The example I saw, and this is from a Nintendo Power article, if you trace a cannon perfectly, it'll only hurt your enemies and not you.
But if you trace it really bad, it'll actually shoot Mickey.
Yeah. So it's kind of, it's pretty
it
cool.
It seems really creative. It looks really cool.
Uses characters from the entire history of Disney. Epic Mickey is sort of kind of restricted itself to some of the more classic Disney era stuff. Whereas
Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, this one will have Scrooge, and I think I saw something that said Tangled, which is
yeah,
like Disney's most
yeah.
recent movie, or one of the most recent movies.
It
so,
seems like it'll take a lot more chances than Epic Mickey 2 will, which
yeah.
seems like it's sort of going to stay closer to just the original Epic Mickey formula.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that, and that was sort of the weird thing about Epic Mickey 2 when I saw it, is that... Oh, we're still recording? Excellent. Yeah. Just checking. Yeah, bear with us. We don't have a computer just giving us a timeline here. But, you know, when I saw Epic Linky 2, one of the weird things is when they showed it to us, like, two of the areas were basically the same thing we had seen in the past. And it was sort of like, okay, well, what's new?
Yeah.
Again, you know, co-op and stuff like that. Did the next gen, or not next gen, but the 360 PS3 versions weren't that impressive yet graphically, and they weren't quite there yet. And you kind of wondered about the controls and how that was going to work. Reports have kind of come out that through interviews with Warren Spector that actually the Wii version is still the lead development platform, which makes sense since Epic Mickey 1 was developed exclusively for Wii. But and you know, and the game is designed to have that, you know, the pointer and stuff So anyway, we'll see what happens. But just wanted to reiterate that Mickey on the 3DS looks awesome. Let's see, some other stuff. Miyamoto went to not Japan. Yeah, he lived in Japan.
He's been there before. He's
been there. He went to Europe, and through a few interviews in Europe, he gave us some really cool news. So first off was Link to the Past. Now, this is not a new topic. This is something that Miyamoto has been talking about for over a year at this point.
Yeah, we've reported before. He's made comments that if the next remake he is interested in making is A Link to the Past.
Yeah, that was his first one. Was like, what's the next 3D remake? He's like, A Link to the Past would be kind
of
cool.
But now he's come out and sort of more fervent about his desire to remake A Link to the Past, and he's even said that he'd be interested in doing a sequel.
Yeah, which he sort of flat out said, like, it depends on the director available.
Yeah, you know? That was actually interesting. He basically said, if it's a developer or with a Nintendo who I trust, you know, I'd let them make a sequel, but if it's some of the other ones, I'd more just want them to do a remake.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an interesting way of him phrasing it, and because he's been talking about it so long.
If he makes a remake, you know he doesn't trust those guys.
Exactly, yeah, that would be kind of rough now if he'd said that. But I mean, like, I have to wonder if this game is actually much farther along than it seems.
Mm-hmm. Because he's been talking about it for a long
time. A year for Miyamoto to be talking about something for a year is pretty long. Yeah. And it seems like if he's talking about it, that means it's on its mind.
If he's that passionate about
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, the whole reason Luigi's Mansion 2 is happening, he said it last year's E3, is because he wanted to make it.
Yeah, it's like, why are you making this? Like,
I felt like it.
Yeah, I mean, what that guy wants, he, you know, kind of gets. Rightly so. And actually, so I think this is maybe the third time we've heard real mention of this game or you know, project or thought or whatever. But one of the three times we've discussed it or written about it, it was actually Aonuma saying Miyamoto keeps talking about. And so it's not even just something like Miyamoto is just sort of pondering in an interview. He's like telling the guys back, he's telling the Zelda series producer, like, go do that.
But that's exciting news. I mean, A Link to the Past is definitely the greatest 2D Zelda game, possibly the greatest one of all time. And to have an actual direct sequel, presumably in that same 16-bit style, would be incredible.
Sure.
And if you're listening and you haven't played A Link to the Past, shame. For shame. Go download it on your Wii right now.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that's kind of cool. I mean,
it's nothing, again, not confirmed, but it's cool.
I mean, it's interesting because we've heard Aonuma say that the next Zelda will be a more original piece. But he's also sort of said that it'll be one that really takes advantage of the power of the 3DS and kind of really shows that off.
In many ways.
Yeah, you know, graphically kind of console-like or whatever. But, like, that doesn't strike me as being linked to the past. A sprite-based sequel. It could be. If you really tricked it out visually and, like, graphically in terms of your animation, your layers, layers of depth and stuff like that.
I would imagine that would be a separate
project, even separate
from Zelda 3DS.
They feel the way those ideas have been described, I would think that a more visually, you know, stunning, taking advantage of the 3DS hardware would be something else besides A Link to the Past 2. But I don't know. And again, and I think when he says A Link to the Past 2, like, is that an actual direct sequel to A Link to the Past? Like, those are very... Those are all great questions that we'll probably not have answers to for a while. So,
and before you freak out, Link's Awakening was a sequel to A Link to the Past. Calm down. We're talking about like an actual sequel, same style, same kind of type of overworld.
Yeah. What I'd be curious about is if it's in that thread of the timeline. Like, and that's sort of those are some of the big questions.
At the end of A Link to the Past, I mean, the Master Sword rests forever. That's supposedly the end of it. So if it followed the story of A Link to the Past.
I can't
it would
remember
have
that.
To be something like
I can't
Link's
remember
Awakening.
The crazy timeline. Is there stuff after it?
Yeah, Link's Awakening follows A Link to the Past, yeah,
and then anything else. I can't remember their crazy ass time.
Yeah, it's good with the three splits.
It used to make more sense to me when I just sort of had it in my head.
Well, I had never even considered
three. Well, nobody did.
Three splits.
Nobody
ever did.
So anyway, so that's some cool little Zelda news there. So here's another cool one. This is... Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, right, we're on the thread of Miyamoto, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about F-Zero, Audrey.
Yeah, so, again, it's not him saying they are
this
working
much
on this
more,
game.
This was much
this
more
This is the
vague.
Vaguest of all the comments we're yeah. talking about. Yeah. But basically, not surprisingly, someone asked what the heck is up with the F-Zero franchise. It's been dead for years and years. And he said that basically the reason they haven't brought it back is that he doesn't think it would be good on any of the systems Nintendo's had, basically, but that he said there might be some interesting things you could do with it on Wii U.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Like,
didn't say it was coming.
Didn't say it was coming,
maybe.
Or even that it's his next project, but yeah. He did say it could work on Wii U, so maybe the series will finally get a comeback.
Yeah, and that's sort of been the first real comment on that series in a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, notoriously, he wasn't very happy with the GameCube one, and so it's sort of been dormant pretty much since then in the GBA one.
Yeah.
So let's talk about probably the biggest of all this news concern, or you know, sort of the recent news, and we're jumping around here a little bit, but that's okay. Concerns Mario, Wii U, and Pikmin. So first, late last week, we got word that Nintendo had registered SuperMario4.com. Mm. And quick research pretty much proved that. Like, you type in SuperMario4.com, last we did,
Nintendo's
goes straight
page.
To NOA.
Yeah.
If you look up in the registry, you know, just go to whois.com or whatever, it's NOA.
And, like, Nintendo, any company, they register domains all the time, mm-hmm. but it's a little strange to just now be registering Super Mario 4. I mean, Mario Bros. 3 came out
forever
ago. Yeah. So to just do this out of nowhere seems really random.
Yeah, and you know, if it was something like, oh, maybe they're just trying to capture it for, like, related to a new Mario Brothers or whatever, like the existing games, why would you just redirect to Nintendo.com?
Yeah,
so those
and
are some interesting
four?
Things.
That's
sure.
The number on everyone's mind.
It's a really interesting thing. Again, could mean nothing, but could be something. Related, maybe not related to that, was...
Yeah, we don't know whether this Mario 4 exists or whether it would be on Wii U or 3DS.
Exactly.
It's all completely vague.
Who knows?
More set in stone is Wii U.
Yeah, so again, in Miyamoto's interviews, he basically went to a few different outlets and...
spilled all of Nintendo's
secrets. He basically was point blank... I was amazed that they did this, but he basically point blank was asked if Mario would be coming to Wii U, if it would be shown at E3. And he basically just said, yep. So, a Mario game will be shown for Wii U at this year's E3, which is also, by the way, 45 days away, maybe 44. I think it's 45 at this point. And Nintendo then issued a statement a little bit later saying, yes, that is correct. We will be showing a Mario game, and it will be related in some fashion or based on the tech demo we saw last year, which was called New Super Mario Bros. Me.
Which was basically exactly like New Super Mario Bros. Wii, only
with
Miis.
Yeah. And I mean, if I recall correctly, you could play as Mario and Toads and stuff like that, but you could also input. Or
yeah, I know you could play as Mario for sure, but I think they were like showing off the Miis
yeah,
and the rest of the ones.
It was very
Miis.
Early, and it actually prompted me to write an editorial. We'll get to the other game that got mentioned in a second, but it prompted me to write an editorial, and I think it is a good question to ask, which is, especially, you know, I like the new Mario Brothers games. I think they're good. I love 2D Mario games. Mm-hmm. But there was something about the new Mario Brothers games that didn't ever... It felt a little different from Mario 3, from Mario World. And to me, didn't quite have as much of the stunning innovation and just design that I saw in stuff like Mario Galaxy, or Galaxy 2 for that matter, or 3D Land. Mm-hmm. Those games just seemed to have a much wilder imagination, even when they were sort of playing with just 2D mm-hmm. concepts.
Yeah, like, I loved the new Super Games. I've played the DS one all the time. I thought the multiplayer in the Wii version was just incredibly innovative.
I only liked it with, like, two, and it got to four people.
It got
so
crazy
annoying.
When there are too many people.
Annoying, yeah.
But, like, when I saw the new Super Mario Bros. Me demo, mm-hmm. I just wasn't excited.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, nothing... It didn't impress me, but
yeah.
Again, we just saw an early version of it.
It was
four
basic levels or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
And just, I don't want to, this is a small point, obviously, but I don't want to play as Mii's in Mario.
Right.
They don't belong in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Sure, yeah.
For me, I know people might disagree.
I was fine with the sort of Mario-esque themes in Find Me. I thought
mm-hmm.
that was fine.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's Find Me, right? Chase Me. I keep getting Find
that's
Me.
That's right. That's right.
All right, Chase Me. The Mario themes that were in
that's
there,
another
I thought
Wii
were fine.
Demo from last year's E3.
Which one?
The Chase Me.
Battle Me.
Battle Me.
Yeah.
Chase Me.
Chase Me. Battle Me. Or Wii U. Find Me is.
Find Me is the 3DS,
3DS
game.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Glad we got that. They need to stop using words with me. Yeah, you know, it's part of it's a little intangible for me, like in terms of exactly what's missing from it. I think part of it is that. When it was on Wii and when it was on DS, there was a cool novelty factor mm-hmm. to it that I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. That's mm-hmm. good for them. Pat on the back. That's cool to go back to that. And I'm more than happy to keep returning to it. But again, and so, you know, I've had some people sort of pick at me going like, well, that's a tech demo. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
just a demo. That's fine. But until they show me what makes it cool,
yeah.
My impression is based on what they said it's based on what I saw last year. And what I saw last year wasn't that exciting
yeah,
to me.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's strictly, you know, what I'm doing and what I'm basing it off of. In addition to new Mario Brothers Wii U or whatever we're going to call it, Miyamoto also, and we kind of expected this anyway, but
mm-hmm.
Miyamoto confirmed that Pikmin 3 would be at this year's E3 for
yeah.
Wii U.
Finally, it does exist.
Yeah,
he has
I mean,
been working on it.
We've heard as far back as, I want to say 2008 or 2007.
Forever, that this game's been
yeah.
in development.
And then it was going to be for Wii, and then somewhere, mentioned last year, and at some point during that, you know, sort of 4-year span, it got shifted over to full Wii U development,
mm-hmm.
and Miyamoto mentioned that last year. So,
and you talked about that in your article too. Is Mario and Pikmin enough for launch?
Exactly, and I think these two games, I don't think both of them together are enough. Actually,
mm-hmm. Well, like the funny thing is, it's weird to say Mario isn't enough for launch, but like
that Mario is not
yeah,
enough.
Like it's, and
for
I
me.
Again, I love the new Super series. Like I'd
sure.
be glad with them continuing the series on
sure.
3DS or something, but.
I remember the year they announced, though, when they announced New Super Mario Bros. Wii at E3, I want to say E3 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, I ultimately enjoyed the game when I played it that fall.
Yeah.
But when they announced it at E3, I was just like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's one of those concepts that is cool, and the game is good, and but at the same time, it's kind of like, in a weird way, the DS Zelda games for me,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, fine, not really for me with the DS controls,
yeah.
and that's cool, and people like them, and I recognize that they're good technical games,
mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to get excited about that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that same idea.
Yeah,
so.
It's not even so much about the new Super labeling or whatever, it's just
right.
that to show off the Wii U, which
yeah.
is what you want them to
yes,
do
yes,
at launch
yes.
especially, like, and I freaking love side-scrolling platformers,
sure,
but
sure.
that's not the way to go to show off what the Wii can
at
do.
Least.
You want a glorious, expansive 3D
precisely.
Platformer.
And again, to emphasize, at the least, based on what we saw last year, because
yeah,
basically
yeah.
what this thing did last year was you could play it on the tablet.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. You know, that'll be cool, and that's fine, but I don't live at my parents' house where they need the
yeah,
TV.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend will be totally fine to watch me play Mario or play Mario with
yeah.
me. And that's the other thing, is it's like it's a multiplayer Mario game. So the idea is that if someone's in the room, they're playing with you, not necessarily like, I'm going to play Mario on
yeah,
my tablet
yeah,
and you go
yeah.
watch your TV or whatever. So it's kind of it's an odd thing.
Like, I mean...
We'll see. I mean, again, they could show off a concept that I'm just like, oh, damn. And,
yeah.
and then you know, I will gladly write an impression of it at E3 going... Well, guess I was wrong.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And that's totally cool. Like,
and
I'm fine
to be fair, it's like, it's the reason that we can be pretty certain Zelda isn't showing up at launch. Like, to make a big galaxy-type game, like,
mm-hmm.
that takes a lot more development than something
sure,
like
sure.
this. But,
Yeah, what I'm really curious to see is that Nintendo has clearly, just as we've sort of looked at this year, which has had virtually nothing on Wii,
yeah.
outside of, you know, at least for us, a couple RPGs that were... out in
we're
Japan
out
a while ago.
Yeah.
And even last year, Wii was pretty empty. So it's clear they have diverted an extensive amount of resources
to
Wii
U. Yeah.
Recognizing that the bottom sort of fell out from Wii and that they needed to start getting a role on this new system. So what Retro's doing, what Tokyo's doing, mm-hmm. what Kyoto is doing, all these divisions, massive, massive divisions that are capable of creating massive games, what are all these guys working on?
Especially Retro. They've been quiet for so long.
Yeah, a good couple years.
They're working on something. You know, I'm guessing they're doing Metroid, but...
It could be. And, I mean, like, I would not be entirely surprised, maybe, to see this new Mario game, this Pikmin game, and then a Metroid or something like that.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, one of the things I made the point in the editorial, though, is that, you know, so Mario is proven to be a juggernaut. Even mm-hmm. now, I mean, both of the Galaxy games and new Mario Wii were amongst the top 10 or so of that
system
sales.
Yeah.
And then new Super Mario Bros. DS is actually that system's best-selling game. And, you know,
which is incredible when you think about how much these DS games have sold.
I mean, these games are—we're talking in both of the new series games, 25 million plus each, and it's like okay, you know, and that's a lot, and that's really cool, and no doubt that was why Nintendo did this.
Yeah.
They're like, well, that's what people want, so we're going to go mm-hmm. make that. I just would like to see it really prove this system's capabilities, and I'm not sure it will, just mm-hmm. based on kind of. Just thinking about it. But again, that's why Nintendo designs games and I don't. Because, maybe they'll be like, oh.
Yeah, where I'm coming from is sort of the same line of reasoning that is why the Wii U name bothers me. It's like, I'm fine with Wii. I even like my Wii, you know.
Sure.
But it's just, that's not what I want from the system, you know.
I want a Mario game that really makes me just go, oh, holy crap.
Yeah, you know for the first HD Mario game, you want it to show.
Yeah, I don't want a really big version, a new, you know, polished, sleek version of new Mario. I want, like, Mario Galaxy, like, times infinity, like, just crazy stuff.
Exactly, because honestly, like, a game like New Super Mario Bros. Wii, like, it doesn't need to be in HD.
I don't think so. Like, I thought it looked just fine.
It's fine.
When, yeah,
It'll look fine 20 years from now.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really need that HD boost.
Precisely. I want the same wow factor, and I won't even go to Mario 64, because that thing is impossible to capture in a bottle again. That's lightning in a bottle. But I want the same feeling I felt when I was playing Mario Galaxy, where I was just like, holy crap. And not in the intro where he's in the stupid little town, but like just after that part. You know, the first time you sort of, and I don't even need to waggle, but when you waggle and you're in that little shooter star that launches you, and then the camera pans out and you see him soaring through the galaxy. That's what I want. Something like that. Not that specifically, but that feeling, that kind of grand experience.
For me, what would be perfect is sort of returning to... And I loved the Galaxy games. I'd be fine if there was one like that again. But I want to return to the castle, basically. I'm going to go to the castle, I'm going to jump through the paintings and go to tons of different worlds.
Variety.
Like that.
Yeah,
a bunch of different worlds, not little spheres. Like, that's what I would want from Mario Wii U.
I'd be excited by that, too. I mean, you know, new Mario, at least, and I know we've been talking about this a lot, but new Mario just doesn't, at this moment, based on their own admitted reference to the last year, wouldn't seem that exciting to me. Pikmin, I think, actually has the potential to prove, finally, once and for all, that an RTS is possible on consoles, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's
game would be brilliant with the tablet controller.
Yeah, I mean,
brilliant.
It's perfect, and it's the perfect way to show off one of those franchises. However, And I'm not saying that not all other RTS haven't been decent on consoles, but I think that Wii U will prove that now this genre is actually very possible.
Mm-hmm.
But Pikmin's not a huge franchise. It's just not. It's more of a niche thing. Like, you're talking about a game, the first one sold about 1 million globally,
mm-hmm.
And it was re-released for Wii, but... The second one, though, it came out in Japan, and I want to say Europe, too, never even made it to America on its Wii re-release.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, and it's weird to think of a series where we say, well, 1 million's not that much. But when I'm looking at something like Mario's,
a Miyamoto
million,
franchise.
Yeah, exactly.
You think of it that
a
way.
Million is not, you know,
it's
huge,
not the Mario and Zelda
especially
numbers.
In an HD era.
Yeah.
You know?
Nothing against the franchise itself. It's a fantastic franchise.
Cool. Yeah. So, and I will buy Pikmin. I will buy new Mario, or, well, we'll get them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would if I were a consumer.
But assuming, and, like, we don't know that these are launch games. We just know they're going to be at E3. But assuming they are, which is very likely,
I would say.
To me, they would need a third game to round it out and make it a really great, strong lineup.
I think
we had that Metroid HD show up at launch, that would do it.
My hypothetical, and I feel like this is fairly realistic is that...
Earthbound HD!
Yeah, exactly. Earthbound Smash Brothers. It's been in development all along. I think kind of what I was thinking was you have this new Mario game. You have your Pikmin 3. I kind of expect some sort of Wii Sports. But maybe more along the lines of the games that we saw last year. So Battle Me and Chase Me.
The second I saw that, I was like, this needs to be included software with Wii U.
Right.
And it could have the same effect. Because those games are really fun to play.
Exactly.
Like, that could have the same effect Wii Sports did, getting people excited about the included software.
And I think they would be smart. I bet they don't do this, but I think it would be smart to have it sort of built into the system, not even as a disc.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. Well, it's like the 3DS launched with software just installed on it, and it was brilliant because there wasn't much at that launch, but those games got us excited about our new system.
Nintendo would be smart to, if they have the new Mario, if they have Pikmin, if they have a lot of built-in software, including those two demos from last year, maybe one or two, maybe let's say just one more will be conservative, and plus a variety of other things, some sort of the swap note stuff, a lot of the stuff we've seen on 3DS, but also on Wii U, in a more fleshed out format. And then it needs to communicate with the 3DS. If you do all those things, and then, not done yet, retro the Metroid thing.
If you
have those things, so you have your Metroid hardcore thing, you have your Mario, which is sort of all for everybody type thing.
Yeah.
Pikmin's sort of your kind of niche weird thing, but that's still cool. And then you have a lot of the built-in software.
I'd be pretty okay with that.
It wouldn't be a mind-blowing launch, depending on retro. It'd depend on what the Metroid thing would be. I wouldn't be like... blown away, but I would be pretty
and
damn
like
happy.
Most systems, especially modern systems, they don't have good launches. They don't. Development time for these games is too long. It's hard to have a good launch for a system like that when you're trying to get it out in a certain time frame.
PS3 and 360 had crap launches.
Yeah, I mean, people forget about it. PS3
I didn't buy either one.
Yeah, I didn't buy a launch. It took years to find its footing, and now it's an awesome system. It's great, but it took... years to even build a software library.
And, I mean, again, not to dwell too much on E3, but this just stuff came out. We'll talk more soon. Let's move along, though. Oh, and incidentally, while you guys are listening to this, MVC@IGN.com, if you want to talk about Link to the Past 2 or whatever it is, if you want to talk about Mario 4,
Mario
4 would be, what do you want for Mario 4? What do you think about a new Mario Brothers, Pikmin 3? Are those games enough for launch? Do you want, you know... Well, everyone wants a Metroid, but I mean, do you think a Metroid would be necessary at launch? Tell us all about that.
What games would sell it to you?
Yeah, exactly.
We want to hear. Let us know.
Is Pikmin enough? I would actually be, I think for some diehard Nintendo fans, Pikmin is enough, but.
Anyway. Yeah, NBC.IGN.com. Let us know.
Yep, totally. And also tell us about Epic Mickey or something. Pokemon Black and White 2, and also The World Ends With You 2. Few more things. Project Cross Zone. This is the dumbest name of a game ever.
But it seems like a really cool
game, actually. It's pretty cool.
Game,
so,
actually.
We have talked about this in the past because Nintendo's last Nintendo Direct conference, broadcast, which was 2 months ago, they mentioned this. They're like, Namco, Capcom, and
doing
Sega
some
teaming
collaboration.
Up. We didn't know what.
Yeah.
In those 2 months, we found out what it is, so tell us what it is.
Project Cross Zone. Basically, it's taking notable characters from Capcom, Sega, and Namco Bandai's various game universes and mashing them all together into this crazy-looking strategy RPG, and people have been asking a lot about this. We don't know how the combat will work. It does look a little strange in the screenshots. It looks like maybe you encounter a battle, and then it goes into that sort of one-screen side-scrolling thing. Like, we don't know how the battling will work, but it's a strategy RPG, and so far the roster's really cool, there's Chris and Jill, there's Mega Man and Zero, which I'm terribly excited about, terribly freaking out, but lots of really cool characters, and the artwork, it's sprite work, and it looks amazing. It's really cool. The one big absence from the roster so far is Sonic and Tails, but there's going to be more characters, so
yeah, and then
they might still show up.
You said not confirmed for Japan, right?
Yeah, it's...
Not confirmed
outside Japan. We don't have any release date info, but I have a really strong feeling that it's going to come to the States.
It feels like it would be good.
And they've sort of... I mean, I don't know. It seems like it would be popular here, so there's this level of excitement for it, so...
Or it's, I mean, it's got sort of every franchise under the sun, so... I mean, it's weird because it's sort of... I kind of want them to rename it like Capcom and Friends, because most of the franchises that people are really going to care about are the Capcom ones, and then there's like some Namco.
Well, it's funny, because when I was sitting down with my boyfriend thinking like, oh, what characters do I hope they announce? It was like named 10 Capcom characters right off the bat, and then it's like, oh, and then... also Sonic and
Sonic
Tails.
What's that? What's that Space Channel 5 girl's name? Lula.
Lula. She's
Lula.
In it.
It's
but
weird. It's weird.
It looks really cool though. It's so funny because this.
I want Echo the Dolphin.
Yes, do it.
He just like, flops on the ground towards you.
Oh, please let that happen.
Anyway,
but it's funny. This is pretty soon after news of Pokemon Conquest coming to America, which we mentioned on the last podcast. We thought had no chance of coming.
Yeah.
So this is a lot.
It's actually a cooler name than the other.
Easier of a
Nobunaga
sell.
Nobunaga and all that. Like, yeah. It's a really cooler name.
Pokemon Conquest.
Conquest
is a really cool name.
Yeah.
But this is a lot easier to sell, so I would be surprised if it didn't come.
For
and
sure.
Angry.
It would be cool. I mean, even if Namco and Sega and Capcom all passed for some inexplicable reason, I would love to see Nintendo pick up the distribution rights.
Yeah, totally.
Which, you know,
yeah.
They're really good at that. No, they're not,
they're
actually.
Really up on...
So, just a couple more things, and then we're going to take off. Something's coming tonight. We mentioned Nintendo Direct just a second ago, and something's coming tonight around
For those
8:00.
Of you who don't know, Nintendo Direct is a series of videos that Nintendo puts out where they basically have Iwata, Reggie, just talk about some upcoming things for that region, like their Japan-only versions. We've had a couple of U.S. versions of this video. And
it's usually pertaining to what's coming in the immediate quarter for the most part.
Exactly. You'll get a couple of game announcements or something.
Firmware update news.
Yeah,
Mario Kart,
stuff.
Kid Icarus.
Yeah. I mean, we've gotten... That's when Last Story was confirmed for a U.S. release.
Yep.
We got Mario Tennis details. Just it's hard to say what comes out of it, but just little announcements, some big announcements.
In terms of this evening, we do know kind of how the format's rolling out. We know that tonight at 8 p.m., which maybe you're listening to this after 8 p.m., in which case this doesn't matter.
8 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, 8 p.m. Pacific. At 8 is when the Japan conference starts. That's in Japanese. That's pertaining more to the Japanese region.
Yeah. They're pretty region-specific, but some of it, like if you know they're working on a game there, even if it's not announced for America, it's like, hey,
at least gives
that.
You a sense of it, yeah.
Yeah.
We do know that there's something that might be pertaining to Kid Icarus. We don't know exactly what Kid Icarus Uprising. Mm-hmm. We don't know what.
Yeah, and we know that because Sakurai took to Twitter and said, everyone watch this video because there's going to be Uprising news.
And then one of the developers involved with Theater Rhythm, Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm, said the same thing. So it sounds like some of this, at least for Japan, might be pertaining to DLC.
DLC of some sort, which Uprising DLC would be interesting.
That would
be
interesting.
I wonder what that could be like, multiplayer
How
stages?
How can that game have more?
Because, like, it can't continue the story.
Can we have more of that?
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's plenty
of The only thing
game.
I could think of is some extra multiplayer mode or
new
stages.
Gem weapons
or
something
yeah,
like
new
that.
Weapons, something.
And then, let's see. Oh, and another thing to note, just sort of maybe this happens, is that, you know, Fire Emblem just came out in Japan about a day or two ago. So possibly they're talking about that in some capacity, too. Who knows? So in terms of Japan, that's what's happening. Now, we know
people
that...
People, get your groups and your letter-writing things together to get that game
Fire
to America
Emblem.
For me.
Yeah, we'll see
I want that game so
Yeah, write in and say because Audrey said
yes,
so.
Yes, do it. Say be nice to Audrey and release this game in the U.S.
Exactly. So we do know, and as far as Europe is also getting a Nintendo Direct video, though that's not happening, and this is in United States time until like 4 a.m. our time. So about six to eight hours later, Europe will be releasing a version of this, and it's going to not only have a message from the Nintendo of Europe president, but some, you know, have
Region
some
specific stuff.
Yeah, localized. They're going to, like, I think, subtitle some of what Iwata's talking about for Europe, stuff like that.
And then Nintendo of America, the official Twitter.
A little different.
Yeah.
So they're doing some sort of announcement, which is probably a press release. They've confirmed there's no video, and they've confirmed that throughout the weekend, and seriously, guys, don't read too much into this, because I know sometimes you guys are like, oh, man, they're totally going to announce a new Zelda game on Twitter.
And then it'll be Monday, and you're going to be like, what the hell, guys?
So, sounds like, and they gave us a statement, no video, some sort of announcement, which presumably is some of a bigger nature, but again, we're too close to E3. You're not going to get a new Zelda game announced.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be...
There's going to be some sort of announcement and maybe a little social updates or something.
Exactly. So there'll be the Twitter, Facebook sort of updates, but you know, it could be something to the effect of Fire Emblem is coming to the U.S.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Expect something more in that realm than, like, brand new Mario game. Like, I just don't see that happening.
I mean, it could be a new eShop game they've developed. Sure. Like, we don't know what it'll be,
We're 45 days from E3. Yeah. They're not going to do anything seismic. I will say there is one thing, and you and I have talked about this in the past few days, is... Oh, and another thing to note, so not only is E3 45 days away, but their next fiscal meeting, or the end of the fiscal year and an investors meeting is next Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm. And news generally comes out of that.
That's where we've seen a lot of big news, because they're talking to their investors, and they have to be like, look, we've got these new big plans, things coming. Yeah, this is where we heard about that new 2D 3DS Mario. Mm-hmm. We've heard other things like that. So one of the things you and I have been talking about is that if Nintendo was to rename Wii U, if they decided, you know what, based on the reaction, based upon further, you know, research, thinking about whatever, this research, Wii U is not right. If they were going to rename the name,
rename it.
I think that you're looking at sometime around now, because that they got to say it sometime. But if they were to say it at E3 at their press conference,
that's all anyone would talk about.
Exactly, that's all anybody would talk about.
They would, if they're changing the name. I hope they do. We don't know that they are, but if they did, they would probably do it, like you said, after this thing, so they could give you a couple months to get used to the new name.
Yeah. Let you chew over on it for about 45 days.
So that at E3, you can focus on the software they're trying to highlight.
And if you guys remember back in 2006 when they announced the name of Wii. That actually happened 2 to 4 weeks. Couldn't tell you the exact timing off the top of my head, but about 2 to 4 weeks before E3.
Yeah.
And they let everybody just sort of like freak out for a while. And then at E3, they did their thing, and everyone was like, wow, this thing's crazy. And so, you know, everyone got interested in it. So, again, who knows?
Yeah, we don't know.
You know, there have been those rumors, but lately I think a lot of Nintendo rumors are just made up by people.
Yep.
It's like people like you know, like you and I just having a conversation being, that's a great rumor.
Yeah.
Let's write it up. Yeah, like, let's report that. You know, I think it makes sense for them to think about a new name. I've flat out told them as such, and I think we've written it a few times, you know. So, I don't know.
It's not out of the question. So,
yeah, I mean, we'll you know, when you have the unintended effect of people thinking that your new system is actually an add-on for your existing system, that's not good.
That's not good.
Not a good thing. And it would.
I mean, how many moms would go to the store and see Wii U and be like, "Oh, I already have one."
Sure. And I mean, and the other thing is like, that's just a powerful message to overcome when your name could simply say everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you talk about Xbox 360, there's very little mistaking that that's some sort of giant increase over Xbox.
Yeah.
And
or even
you know,
just the numbering of the PlayStation. Sure. It's like, oh, well, this is better than the 3 because it's the 4.
Exactly. Or so do you spend a fortune on clever marketing and press releases and material and PR on trying to make sure that people are aware this is a new thing? Or do you just name it something good, you know, that makes sense? So, again... not confirmed. Don't write stories about this, all you fun sites out there listening to us. But if they were going to do that, so you know, we're looking at tonight and whatever this weekend is sort of looking at, which is I would guess is smaller ideas, DLC and the like. And then also we're looking at next week something. And again, sorry to be clear, I don't know if something will happen, but something almost always happens at the investor conference. Even if it's just Iwata going, oh, and last time, not only did we learn about the new Mario game, NFC and the Nintendo Network.
Yeah, that's right.
So we did see some, we've seen some very interesting things discussed.
So we'll see.
Stay tuned. What it could be next week is them just going like, yeah, Mario's at E3.
Yeah,
you know, it could be reiterating some points.
It could be nothing. But
one last thing, and I want to say the best thing for last, and this is pretty cool, it's kind of chewing up the charts right now, is Project M.
Project M,
for those of you guys who haven't seen the site, because we sort of did this big old feature with a video preview and some cool footage up, is a mod slash hack, whatever you want to call it, for Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Mm-hmm.
It brings Brawl more in line with Melee.
It's not exactly like Melee. It's correct. Just sort of, some of the mechanics are closer to Melee.
Yeah, basically, you're looking at a team of about 50 guys who, over, or people, I don't know, probably some female developers in there, no doubt. 50 people for the last 2 years across the globe, including Japan and Europe and all over the place, have been working for free.
Just on their own time.
Yeah, on modifying Smash Brothers to be more technically sound than Brawl was.
And they've done... It's really impressive. We've been playing it in the office, and my God, these people have done some good work.
They've done some really incredible stuff.
They've rebalanced some of the characters. Mm-hmm. They've... separated the characters, like the Pokemon. There's no more Pokemon trainer. It's just Charizard. They're going to add in Squirtle and Ivysaur later.
Yep.
And, like, recovering the ledge grabs, it's a lot less lenient. Jumping isn't as floaty. Just lots of tons of changes.
Yeah, some are huge, some are more subtle. They added a Castlevania stage in there just because they could, I guess. Yeah. They did things like put in a Hyrule stage that just, the Hyrule Castle from Melee?
Yeah.
Just isolates sort of the far left portion of the castle.
Which is weird, but...
Yeah, they brought back classic Smash stages, Melee.
The one big giant fail is Falco can't throw his reflector anymore, meaning the game's unplayable for me.
Yeah, totally unplayable.
Yeah.
You're so terrible. But yeah, I mean, they did so many really cool things. And again, like, I think a lot of people are sort of mistaking this as some sort of Melee versus Brawl argument.
No.
But it's not making Brawl like Melee, because if you wanted to just play Melee, you would just go play Melee.
And it's not Melee.
It's not
different
at all.
That the characters that even were in Melee, they handle different. It's
sort
of its own thing. It's just some of the things you can tell they were making it closer to Melee. Like recovering, it's not as easy as in Brawl. And that's because they were like, it's too easy in Brawl, let's make it more like Melee.
Yeah, and again, I don't know the game so well that I can just spout off some of these technical terms off the top of my head, but I do know there are some mechanics that Brawl introduced that they did keep, actually. Mm-hmm. They retained some things. One of the big things, another big thing they got rid of was the randomized tripping that Brawl introduced. And it's cool, though. I mean, like, it's the Smash Brothers you know, but it's sort of like this amazing hybrid between Melee and Brawl. And, you know, it's funny because they made it as a sort of technical labor of love to the people that play these games obsessively, the ones that want tournaments but found Brawl lacking.
Yeah.
And the ones that, you know, sit there and analyze frames and hitboxes all that sort of crazy stuff.
It's really, like you said, it's a labor of love. What these people accomplished is impressive. Like the stage they made, the Castlevania stage, that's impressive that they made that by themselves.
And to be clear, it's a few more things. It's like, this is polished enough to look like a full Nintendo game.
Mm-hmm.
This is not weird little like text-based menus that are clunky that you then get to play Smash Bros. From. This looks like a full Smash Bros. Game. The other thing I should mention is that it actually... these guys don't support piracy. They it requires.
Nor does IGN.
Yeah, nor does IGN. This mod requires a boxed retail version of the game.
Yeah, you have to buy the game.
You need Brawl.
It's all done through the SD card, so it doesn't hack the system. It doesn't hack the disc or anything. Like you just buy your retail version of Brawl, put it in the system, and then you have this SD card, which.
Yep.
Just has this file on it. Like, you can't have any custom stages or anything. You put that in your Wii as SD card slot, and then you just load it from Stage Builder.
Yeah, it exploits this sort of loop work, because the Stage Builder has to read the SD card, and basically when it goes in to read the SD card, this program goes, hello, and just takes over it, basically, yeah. And it's very clever, and again, like, it doesn't actually do anything to your system, so if you don't want to play this way, one, just don't go to Stage Builder, and you can play Brawl the way it is, or...
Yeah.
Just take out that SD card, or the second you turn off the system, your system is back the way it was.
Exactly.
Put in a different SD card, wipe the file off the SD card, whatever, and you're back in.
And that's one of the main reasons we covered it, not only because it was such an impressive endeavor, but because, like, I mean, IGN, we don't support hacking or piracy. We're very careful about covering mods and things like that. But this, I mean, they're very respectful. They came out and blatantly said they don't support piracy. This is something they did because they love the game so much and they wanted to see these things changed in it.
Yeah, it's very
really cool.
It's really, really well done. You can go to the IGN. I don't remember the URL. The URL is a little odd. But go to IGN. There's a link over there if you want to check it out, try it out. The crew over there, the community, is very supportive too. So if you are having troubles installing it, they have a little chat room. Jump in there, talk to them. And you know, I should mention too, like you were mentioning, I mean, they've done a lot of changes to existing characters too, not just in separating some of them or whatever, but like Pit, they took out his annoying sword spin move, stuff like that. Like they just.
Yeah, like lots of little things like that that just alter the way those characters play completely.
Their goal was to make every character interesting, different, balanced. So
like
no longer they're just characters that are gimpy.
Even if you play this game a lot and you love it, and like there's a whole group of smashers where we smash after work most days, and like a lot of us even still prefer Brawl, but even if you do, like this is so cool and different that it's worth at least trying out just to have different Smash Bros. Game to play in the meantime until the new one comes out.
You guys are crazy to prefer Brawl. but, I mean, the one thing I would say, too, is that, you know, it was designed by guys that are hardcore into Smash Brothers that are obsessive about the little mm-hmm. details and stuff like that. And they're obviously the ones that are going to notice a lot of the changes. But I love it because even though I'm not sitting there counting the frames and stuff mm-hmm. like that, I like knowing that the game is, you know, technically sound, so mm-hmm. that everything in there is actually happening for a reason and not just because of some haphazard bizarro-ness. I don't like running at my opponent and they're just tripping. Like, yeah, why am I tripping? You know, stuff like mm-hmm. that made Brawl a Brawl is epic. Like, it's epic in mm-hmm. scope. It's got crazy amount of content. I mean, the character roster is just awesome. Yeah. Like, so many cool things about Brawl. And yet, when you trip, you're just like, why? Yeah. Why am I doing this? And I keep coming back to that, but I think a lot of people agree with me. It's just like, why am I tripping?
No, I think tripping is the devil.
It was awful, so and you can't do anything about it either. You know, no, it just happens, and there you go.
I'm surprised with how customizable it is that you can't turn tripping off.
Oh, in the menus. The other thing to mention about Project M is that this is the thing we wrote up is actually demo version 2.
This isn't even remotely complete.
Yeah, they're planning on adding another 12 characters mm-hmm. or so, not even considering maybe they add new characters, new stages, and, you know, so there's so much more that they can be doing and that they plan to do. But the other thing they've said, because I flat out asked them, like, when's it going to be done?
Yeah.
And they actually have a very Nintendo-like stance, which is, we're not rushing it. We're trying to make sure that this is done right. We're not just going to put, say, for example, this is hypothetical, they're not going to just put Mega Man in there because everybody wants Mega Man. They're going to put Mega Man in there if he made sense for the game. Mm-hmm. Not just to do it, but to do it right.
Not that they're discussing that or anything.
No, they're not, and they didn't even say that to me, but it's just sort of a hypothetical thing, you know. They did mention that they're looking at, in terms of new stages, potentially doing one on Skyward Sword.
They actually directly
mentioned that. Yeah. They have a character roster page, which goes through actually pretty exhaustively some of the changes they made to some of the characters, but they do have a question mark on there, which apparently is some new character. I mean, since they have Castlevania, I do wonder...
Simon Belmont or something.
I do wonder if they're trying for that. But they're also... The reason the Castlevania stage made it in there is because they just found a really cool Castlevania stage that was polished, and they're like, let's do that.
Yeah.
So whether it's the Castlevania character or not is hard to say. But it's awesome. Go to IGN, check it out.
And another thing is, like, if you were mad that the character you played as, your main from Melee, got gimped in some way in Brawl, the rebalancing may have fixed that. Because, like, Marth, he's, like, as powerful as he was in Melee again, which is great for Marth players. Yeah, Link, they've...
He's super powerful.
Yeah, they sort of made him not very powerful. Like, you can still get really good with him, but they made him not very competitive in Brawl, but they fixed that. He's a lot more powerful now.
I was reading a lot of their descriptions on the characters and why they were making some of the changes they were making, and a lot of things they were saying was like, you know, this character isn't necessarily worse in Brawl, but it's because of the nature of Brawl with its crazy physics and its mm-hmm. weird tripping and you know, some of that stuff. Its slower style of play, that this character suddenly became worse.
Yeah.
So we had, you know, in addition to adjusting a lot of the physics of Brawl and making it a little faster and whatnot, mm-hmm. and more Melee-like, you know, that this character became better, and then they made some adjustments. Yeah. Some of the characters have changed dramatically. Lucario and Rob mm-hmm. and some of those guys. Bowser actually has the ability, if you're crawling towards somebody, shots, like from a gun or whatever, won't hurt him. They exploit his armor, basically. Yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff like that.
And the moonwalking.
Yeah, the moonwalking with characters in back. If you crouch and you sort of gently hold back, he'll sort of slide backwards. It's pretty awesome. Anyway, I think it's highly recommended. For those of you who sort of shy away from hacks or mods because you're worried it's going to damage your system or it's somehow illegal, these guys, from all accounts, are right up above the board, mm-hmm. and this thing isn't going to break
anything. I'm the same way. I'm terrified about hacking my system. I don't want to break that. I don't want to break my game, break my system, lose everything. But this is pretty legit. It's really cool.
I mean, we've
and it's free, so just... Yeah. Might as well give it a try. It's
free.
Really cool.
They're not making any money on it.
A lot of people put a lot of love into it. So.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's worth trying out. And I think that, you know, especially if you were sort of a little frustrated with some things in Brawl, or mm-hmm. if you're looking to play some new Smash Brothers and are just looking for something to spice it up a bit, mm-hmm. Some of these characters are very different, feel kind of new.
If you love Brawl and you just want to play a slightly different Smash Bros. Experience, this makes it feel almost like a new game.
Yeah, so. And I mean, just from the little I've managed to play... I think I do like it more than Brawl, but they're not saying that it's better than Brawl. They're just saying that this is a way they like playing.
Yeah.
That's why they did it for 2 years for nothing. But, you know, again, like, it was funny because I think the comments in our article and our preview were super positive, but every now and then someone would be like, oh, how dare you say Brawl's not good, or how dare you bring up Melee versus Brawl, and it's just not, this is not at all about any of that.
No, no, no.
This is just about some guys who got together, made a really cool project. I mean, this is basically, like, indie development. You know, you're looking at, like, some of the stuff on XBLA or whatever. These guys, yeah, they're basing it off an existing game, but they made a pretty badass game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, I guess that's about it. We're not going to do reader Q&A because we're actually running longer than we need to today. Plus, we're all heading home to watch our computers eagerly for Nintendo news. Yeah, I mean, plenty going on. It's kind of busy time.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of news breaking. You can reach us on our My IGN walls and blogs. I'm Aminka, and he's Bullseye, too.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
So, I mean, feel free to chat with us if you have any questions or comments about any of this news. We're here for you guys.
Twitter's RichIGN.
I'm GameOnAminka. That's like AMINKA.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird
thing. NVC@IGN.com. Rate us on iTunes. Track us down on iTunes. Subscribe. Rate us.
But it's an exciting time to...
Yeah. I kind of feel like it's going to calm down a little bit after April. Like, May is going to get quiet because we're waiting for E3. But this weekend should be interesting, as well as... next week's fiscal year stuff.
So. Yeah, so good stuff, and that's about it. See you next week. Thanks for joining us, Koopalings.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.